Recorded Books presents an unabridged recording of The Branch and the Scaffold by Lauren D. Esselman, narrated by Paul Hecht and directed by Aaron Moon. This book is copyrighted 2008 by Lauren D. Esselman. This recording is copyrighted 2009 by Recorded Books. When Judge Isaac Parker first arrived in Fort Smith, Arkansas, the town had 30 saloons and one bank. Inheriting a corrupt court and a lawless territory roughly the size of Great Britain, he immediately put the residents on notice by publicly hanging 6 convicted felons at one time. For the next 2 decades, his stern and implacable justice brought law and order to the West. But it also made him plenty of enemies. And now, The Branch and the Scaffold.
Part 1. A Dream of Justice. A quote from Sir Thomas Browne. This reasonable moderator and equal piece of justice, death. Chapter 1. 2 long blasts on the whistle, each bent in the middle by the wind on the river. It seemed to be shrieking his name. "Well, they'll know we're coming." Mary Parker took her fingers from her ears. "I think they know already." Spotting the crowd on the dock, she drew in little Charlie and huddled closer to her husband. "Have they come with baskets of flowers or buckets of tar?"
"They're empty-handed. Come to see the carpetbagger."
"How soon can you prove them wrong?"
"Soon. I have my predecessor to thank for heightening the contrast."
"They cried for his impeachment."
"I studied his record. He's fortunate they didn't dangle him from his own scaffold."
"I should think a town with a fort would be an orderly place."
"The fort is closed. The town has 30 saloons and one bank. I am the order."
When the steamboat bumped against the hemp-bound pilings, the crowd eased back to allow the hands to erect the gangplank and bear trunks and portmanteaux to the dock for passengers to claim. Some newcomers were greeted and borne away amidst jabber. Others escaped interest, looking for porters and transportation. Most of those gathered watched as Isaac and Mary Parker and their small son alighted. They saw a man in excess of 6 feet tall and 200 pounds, wearing a sandy Van Dyke beard, a soft hat, and a duster to protect his gray suit from cinders, accompanied by a large woman near his age in gloves, a cape, and a hat secured with a scarf under her chin. Patent leather shoes showed beneath the hem of her skirt. The boy, in necktie, cap, and knickerbockers, had a high complexion and kept close to his parents, although not from fear. He intercepted the curious glances of strangers with his father's level blue gaze.
"Your Honor?"
Parker lifted his chin to confront the stranger. He was a man close to his own 37 years, pale-eyed and neatly barbered in a frock coat too heavy for the season, but he gripped Parker's hand with a dry palm.
"You're the first to address me so."
"William Clayton, Chief Prosecutor."
He bowed to Mary and acknowledged the child with a nod, but no interest. "Welcome to Fort Smith."
It was a hot Sunday in early May. The family and Clayton boarded a waiting phaeton, sat with hands folded while the Negro driver and a porter secured their luggage and rode down a broad street harrowed by hooves and carriage wheels to a fine dust that rose in clouds like flour and cast a scrim over a town built largely of unpainted wood, with neither sidewalks nor lamps to illuminate the streets at night. The saloons were shuttered for the Sabbath, but wagons and horses lined the hitching rails, and stragglers from the dock dodged heavy oncoming traffic to run alongside the phaeton, staring at the occupants. Clayton tapped the driver's shoulder with his stick, and he picked up the pace, leaving the rubbernecks behind, but raising still more dust. Mary drew a handkerchief from her sleeve and held it to her nose and mouth.
"Isaac!"
Her voice was muffled, but still she lowered it.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?